The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Bye, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on till one today. On the phone, 66 13 68. On the text, 166 177. WhatsApp is 07624 166 177. You can email studio at manxradio.com. Douglas, it is official. Douglas is a city. One of the eight created to mark the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. And now what happens? Oh, I'm serious. And now what happens? Any ideas? First of all, which city in the world would you twin Douglas with? I know Douglas is twinned with Ballymoney at the moment, but which city do you think in the world would want Douglas as a twin city? Oh, a note in from Dave and Kerry in Wales, who just said, many congratulations on your city status. For Douglas, I always thought to get city status you had to have a cathedral, but of course the Isle of Man is the cathedral of speed after all. Anyway, eagerly looking forward to arriving on the 3rd of June for our annual visit. Can't wait to see the friends we've missed for 3 years, in particular Dot and Stuart at Francorchamps, and Debbie and Julie and the crew at the shore, Francis and Mick at the TT Riders Hut in the paddock. Good luck to all the riders. Let's hope we have good weather and a great TT. Dave and Kerry, thank you. Hope all is well in Wales today. What do you think we should do with city status for Douglas? And I'm genuine about this. Where do you think, which city in the world should we twin with? Does this mean that all the municipal wagons are going to be repainted? All the signs are going to have to be changed? Not a new chain for the mayor. I wonder what we're going to do.
I'm calling regarding MHK Ashford. I don't know why the chief minister just can't sack the man. Never mind any discussion and five-day hearings regarding this thing. And also this cohort. Oh, Maxson, this Maxson. She should be banned from holding any office, any government office or civil service office in the Isle of Man. That's the first thing. The second one, Mr. Callister was commenting on a 10-year plan for tourism. They won't be here in 10 years. They move out after 5 years. They don't even be there. Won't even be there. The other point is, I mean, everywhere in the UK, the drawing point of every seaside resort is a pier, and yet we have a pier which is being built by public subscription. I mean, why doesn't the government, if they're looking for tourists, why don't they get the pier finished with some assistance from the government? Also, the other points, Laxey Wheel isn't working. You know, all the things that attract people to visit the island, you know, they're ignoring. I find it extraordinary. I really do. I think it's terrible. It's done. Thanks very much indeed. Bye-bye.
Thank you. It's 10 past 12. We were live on Queen's Pier Ramsey yesterday. What a day it was. Absolutely gin clear skies, blue skies and lots of sunshine, and a fantastic time. And thanks to Graham Curfey and David Furnival and all the QPRT doing us proud there. And it was interesting to point out the amount of municipal money, public money that goes into it, but it's mainly volunteers. And Graham, I finally pinned Graham down. I don't think you wanted to be, but if everything with a following wind, full sail, and as much money as they need, the pier could be finished by 2032. It's looking good so far, but obviously when it is finished, when it's lit and you can walk out 2,000 odd feet into the sea, it'll be fantastic. I just wonder what your thoughts are. And perhaps this weekend, if you've not been to Ramsey for a while or not seen the pier for a while, just pop along and have a look. Charlie's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, Charlie.
Good morning. I'd just like to thank Charles Gard for his video on Marine Drive.
What did you like about it?
Well, I like about it, the fact he shamed the corporation and the government into doing something. They've got a wagon, two road sweepers and men clearing the gutters out up there at the moment.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
What's next? Amazing, what's next, then, Charlotte? What's next?
I just want to know how far they'll go.
What's next after Marine Drive, though?
Well, once they've cleaned the footpath, they're going to have to do the fencing, because there's fencing not there. But one other point is, I always thought a city had to have a cathedral. Which church in Douglas is going to be the cathedral?
How interesting. Maybe that's something that's in train. Maybe they'll be elevating one of the churches in Douglas. I wonder.
A clergy dogfight.
How do you feel about Douglas getting city status, Charlie?
Well, I don't think it's going to change anything, the way the government and that work.
Do you think, I mean, they applied for it last year. I can't believe they just did it because Peel was applying. But, I mean, surely they would have had a plan for it all, don't you think?
Well, the Manx buggers always think that Peel was a city because it had the cathedral.
Well, we'll see. And if there's going to be an ecclesiastical dogfight, we'll be there. Don't worry. Thanks for calling today.
All right.
13 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I thought there was somebody else before me, but no, that chap was right. I went along the Marine Drive yesterday, drove along, and yes, he's correct. They are clearing out gutters, etc. But I remarked to my wife that all the fencing being down, not repaired, etc., they're going to do that. But I said also, if that farmer who is on the other side of the road neglected his fences the same way as the DOI have neglected, he would be fined or told to get them sorted out promptly. And his fencing all along the, as you're driving from the Douglas end out, are all, well, they're all correctly wired and actually barbed wire on the top of them. But if he neglected his fences and left them like that with the obvious thing of cattle or sheep or whatever, if he's wandering on the roads, he would be told very, very quickly to get them sorted. And for all these years, even the actual surface of the road, there's areas, I'd say about a mile and a half further in from the toll gates that is breaking up, and we're in need of, I wouldn't say urgent repair, but certainly in need of repair, because I was out there with our great-grandson, and you can smile here, I was on my bike, and he was on his, and I was fearful of coming down that road because of the depth of the, not potholes, but just surface breaking up. I was fearful of him actually coming off his bike, or even myself.
I'm trying to remember the last time Marine Drive got surfaced, because, as you say, the road surface is eroding badly in places.
It is, and it's only for neglect. It's not a major job, because that's on a fairly substantial base, namely rock. But I just went out that way yesterday, just out of curiosity, and yes, are they going to expose the posts and put new wires in, albeit they'll only be knee-high anyway. So they're going to be a danger for anybody that would take a lean to the left. They would be straight over the top anyway, because they're only small concrete posts. They're more of a guidance than anything else.
What do you think about being a citizen of Douglas City now, Howard?
Well, you're saying that the cathedral is needed. Well, you remember in the Bible, the trumpeters blew and the walls of Jericho fell down. Well, we got that on the promenade.
Well, we'll have to see what happens. All right, Howard, have a good weekend.
Okay. Take care.
Cheers. Bye now. Mark on now on Man of the Line. Hi, Mark.
Andy, how you doing, fella?
Good, thanks.
Good. Two things. First of all, Charles is correct in what he said about a city needs to have a cathedral. That dates back to somewhere in the 1600s, 1700s in England. But also on that subject, Stanley in the Falklands doesn't have one either.
Oh, is that so? Right, okay.
No. And secondly, you said about who Douglas could twin with. I've got to put anywhere at all in Ukraine, because let's be honest, it looks like a bomb site down lower Douglas anyway.
Well, I'm sure the burgers, I'm sure the councillors wouldn't agree with that. But then again, if you look, I have to say, somebody passed a very unfair comment about the Castle Mona a couple of weekends ago. Somebody came over to the Isle of Man and hadn't seen the Castle Mona before, and they said it looked like something left over from the Third Reich.
Oh, that's pretty bad. But having said that, though, you can, if you look at the edifice itself, it does look like something that has escaped 70 years of... But the point about the Castle Mona is it's a Grade 2 listed building. Why on earth hasn't government money been put aside to resurrect it or to at least stabilise it?
Well, it's privately owned now. I mean, it's owned by somebody, so and I think they may have done something to it. They've certainly been in there because the fence is around, and I've seen some vehicles going in there, but it's been a while.
When are we going to get to the stage, Andy, when we're going to stop selling off our assets, our history, to people who just want to demolish the things and turn it around into an office block? I mean, take your hat off to the guys and girls who are trying to do something with the old Bailey Scott police station down in Castletown. I mean, I think, to be quite honest with you, if the Isle of Man government had had a way, they'd have just said, oh yeah, go ahead and demolish it and put a hideous monstrosity of a coffee shop on it. Because I don't think that the powers that be, and again, this is getting back to who's in charge of the various departments, that, you know, it's not just Catherine Magson that's a megalomaniac. A lot of them are, and I've worked for them. I know what they're like. You know, they have a God complex, and it's their decision, and their decision is the only one that matters. But we are selling everything that we possibly can do, and it's all just being turned into glass and steel structures. Just pop along Circular Road one day. There's no history there at all now.
It's interesting that one side of Circular Road, well, apart from the corporation houses, has been turned into these big structures. But the other side is relatively, well, apart from the Barclays building, but it's relatively untouched, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, on one side. But the one side that's barely touched looks terrible.
Well, there is a big hole in the wall where the building fell down. Do you remember that?
That's right next to the, I remember that. That's next to, is it Rose House or Tudor House or something like that? But if you want to take a leaf out of a good, but this is only my opinion, a good architect's book, go down to, is it Utmost, the old Royalty Theatre?
The old Royalty Theatre. Oh, the one on where the Sepang restaurant used to be down there.
Yeah, that one on the corner there, that office block on the corner, that looks so Art Deco. It's got beautiful balustrades on the corner. It's got Art Deco fascias on some of the walls. And that is really a beautiful looking building.
That's
right. Why can't they do that for most of them? Why does it have to look like some child has got an egg box and just drawn a couple of windows on it?
We'll see. All right, thanks for calling.
No problem, fella. Have a good one.
Cheers. Now, 19 minutes past 12. I think it was Amanda Bredner who did the statue on the old Royalty Cinema, which is now Utmost. There are marine drives in Mumbai, in Vancouver, also in Nova Scotia. I think Scarborough's got a marine drive. We have a marine drive here. You just wonder how much it would cost to put marine drive to pristine condition. You know, not absolutely top-notch, but just to get it serviceable so that people felt good about walking through the arches and walking onto Marine Drive. Well, let's hope it's smartened up. Let's hope it looks good for our visitors in TT. It is official. It's official. Douglas is a city. The leader of Douglas Council is Claire Wells.
We've all had a tough couple of years with COVID. You know, things have pretty much come to a standstill for 2 years. We haven't been able to do any of the things that we wanted to do. And this is part of our, you know, our plan to rejuvenate the town centre. And at the end of the day, the capital of Douglas, the capital of the Isle of Man, it's a great place for people to come and spend time. And I hope that with the boost in the economy and our city status, we'll be given that opportunity to revive our town centre and encourage more companies to come over and also tourists to come and see not just Douglas, but the whole of the Isle of Man.
What about signage?
We have no current plans to do that. At the end of the day, there are a lot more things that are going to take priority within the town centre than signage right now. We have got things that we need to get going with and improve and catch up on essentially the last 2 years of things that we haven't been able to do.
Few people believe that the tidiness of the city needs to be up to par with the city status.
I think there are some things that we have control over and some things that we don't, some things that are within our realm to sort out and some that we don't. Ultimately, I've said it a few times in the past, we have got a shortage of manual workers to do things, and that does cause us problems, and it also causes problems for people that we have contracted to do some of the works for us. And we have to understand that, you know, I've said it a few times now, we've had 2 years where we've not been able to do anything, and now everybody, not just Douglas, are trying to catch up to make their areas look tidy and catch up on maintenance and all those things. It doesn't just happen overnight, and we are trying our best to do what we can to tidy things up. I'm looking, you know, our planters are going out over the next couple of weeks. They've all been planted. They're ready to go out. We've got staff out tidying up areas. We are just doing the best that we can with the staff that we have, and also with the workers that we have around the town.
So what do the citizens of the city of Douglas think about all this?
I think it's really exciting, surprising. I always thought Peel was a city, and hopefully to start doing the play stuff a little bit and throw some money at it, and I think it's great news.
I don't really think it's going to change anything at all. It's good for the people who wanted it, but in my opinion, I don't think it'll change anything.
I'm pleased for the island. It brings it into the modern world.
Well, it's great, although I'm surprised because I thought that Peel would get it because they have a cathedral, but yay to Douglas. Being a resident of Douglas, I feel very proud. I hope good things come out of this. Hopefully tourism and other things are great.
A lot of people say that Douglas Council needs to work a little bit more on the area and make it a bit more aesthetically pleasing to the eye. Would you, now that we've got the city status, would you agree?
I would definitely agree, even without the city status. I feel like there's certain areas where like footpaths or sidewalks, they're like in a bit of a shambles, and it is right. Douglas is where most of the things happen, or the financial district, everything is in Douglas. And I feel like this is most representative of the island. Most people come to the island, the first thing they'll see is Douglas. And I think it does need to look a lot better, and it just needs to stand out and be in line with other cities across the UK.
There's a note from G. He said, Andy, have I missed something when listening to the councillor talking about rejuvenating the city of Douglas? Where's the cash going to come from? Where's the cash to be able to address the state of the promenade walkway, Summerland, empty buildings, the lack of shops, entertainment facilities? Presumably the ratepayers of Douglas City will now have to stump up to avoid Douglas being crowned the worst-kept city. Brilliant news about Douglas, says this correspondent. Millions of people will see the news. That'll drive tourism numbers and inward investment. So for goodness sake, let's get the prom completely finished. Tidy up our beautiful island. Let's have some confidence in our future, says Dave in Onchan. What do you think, Howard?
Well, just listening to, and I assume it was Claire Wells, the leader of the council, was talking a minute ago, and her words were that they didn't have the staff to do the jobs. Well, blame nobody else but themselves, because they paid the staff off. They sacked a lot of staff and moved them away out of the corporation. So obviously they're not going to have the staff, and they're bringing in contractors. But having said that, I know one girl who went through an apprenticeship as a joiner, and after the apprenticeship period was finished, they didn't employ her. They said they had no work for her. Yet they're bringing in contractors to do woodwork and brickwork and everything. So somewhere in the council, somebody's living in a fairy tale land, and they want to get their facts right before they come on the radio that they don't have the staff. Right, they don't have the staff because they paid them off. And you can't do that and then blame somebody else. So let's get the order of merit, and I hope they don't get ideas above their station now that Douglas has become a city. It's in the Queen's recommendations. It's not a historical one. So let's hope that these ones that run in the council don't get ideas and go and change all their notepaper and all the vehicles and various aspects and signs around the town. Let's not waste money on it.
It'd be nice to know, though, what the plan is, Howard. And I just wonder, what on earth they were thinking when they applied for city status, what was going to be, because presumably when you do this, you will think there has to be a big splash. There's got to be something we're going to announce that will mark us being a city, and what is it going to be?
Well, there will be a big splash, and it will be tears if they decide to do something radical and the place is like a tip and they can't even repair walls and things like this. It'd be a historical one, yes, by all means. But let's just carry on as we are now. They've been awarded a city status. But don't go over the top because you can't afford it. Full stop. Cut your cloth according. And let these people on the ego trips within the council and the government stay where they are and think about it. Let's do things slowly and let's get what we've got back to what it should be before they go down the road of spending small fortunes on grand schemes.
Howard, in the past you talked about workers of Douglas Council having pride in what they do. And part of, you know, there are many people in many cities around the world who absolutely love their cities. They've got a real passion for their city and they're happy to say, you know, I'm a citizen of such and such a place. I mean, do you think there's a passion? Do you think there's a love? Do people love Douglas, Howard?
There are certain people. I'm not going to say there's nobody, and that would be a wrong thing to say, because there are a lot of people that have pride in where they were raised. But again, there's a lot of people, and I'm not running them down, but have come to live on the island, and this is not their hometown. And they've come from all parts of the world, and as far as they're concerned, this is somewhere to live and work, and that's about all. They don't have any heritage. Home is where you were born, and that's where you think. That is my home. It could be anywhere in the world. The Isle of Man is a little dot where you live at the present moment, and that is what you try to make the best of. But there are so many people have moved to the island in the last 20, 30 years, and it's slowly destroying the way of life here on the island, and there's no pride in a lot of cases, but in the Isle of Man, the Manx people, there are a lot of people that do have pride, and I'm one of them. But I'm getting really tired of seeing how this place is run down.
Howard, how do we get away from this being the feeling of a dormitory, just being a place where, and I'm including Onchan and Braddon into this as well, because half the population lives in Douglas, Onchan and Braddon. How do you get away from the fact that for some people it is a dormitory?
It's a difficult situation, but that's what our government is here for, that's what the town council's here for, and that's what all the various commissioners are here for, is to instill pride in the people that are living here. And if you don't do that, it will slowly become just another part of the UK, and we all know what's happening over there. So it's everything's been degraded down to what it is across, which is, as the old tourist board used to say, it's our difference that makes the difference. Now, it's a mirror image of most of the towns that are in the UK, and the same attitude has been adopted. It's up to somebody else to do something. It's not my problem. And that's where the pride goes out the window.
Interesting. Okay, thanks, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, Peel made an unsuccessful bid for city status. So how are the Govags feeling?
I think that's not really unfair because we're quite small, and if you go up on Peel Hill, you can just see the whole of Peel and further. We're just really a town.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted for Douglas, but obviously very disappointed for the people of Peel, and in particular all those people who worked so hard to put the application in for Peel. It still remains a great place to live.
I always thought that to be a city you had to have a cathedral, but then there is a cathedral in Peel, and so it's very disappointing because Peel's such a great place, but it is nice that Douglas has got it, but hopefully maybe things will change in future.
Peel is Sunset City and always will be.
I would say it's better because it's got the town and all the government buildings and it's the capital, isn't it? It should be a Sunset City. It doesn't really feel like a city.
I think it's a crime. Peel has been known for a long, long time as the Sunset City. We have two cathedrals, but the sad thing is we've never been proclaimed by the Queen as an official city. I know that's going to upset a lot of people, me saying that. Is it because most MHKs live in Douglas?
When did the Isle of Man stop at the Quarter Bridge? When are they going to move the seat of government to someplace more central, like Carfa Man?
I wonder if you're a citizen of Sunset City, how are you feeling about it? A little deflated, defeated, or how do you feel about it? We'll find out more about the brand new city of Douglas. Douglas City, Isle of Man, as Man in Line rolls on.
It's finally time for the riders to start their engines for the 2022 Isle of Man TT. At Shaw, we've been the official telecommunications partner of the races since 2007, and we're proud to play our part in the greatest motorsporting event in the world. Wherever you sit for the Isle of Man TT, you'll have great coverage from Shaw's ultra-fast network, so every spine-tingling, knee-scraping, jaw-dropping moment could be shared quicker than ever. To find out more, go to shaw.com.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
When you need a monument for your loved ones, contact T.E. Cubbon, a trusted family-run business for over 150 years. T.E. Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions, and fire hearths. For quality workmanship and a professional personal service tailored to your wishes, visit us at Hope Street, Castletown, or at Broadway, Douglas. Call 844-440. T.E. Cubbon, here when you need us.
The Crossroads team are always on the lookout for any furniture you no longer need. From tables and chairs to beds and footstools, let us find your furniture a new home. Arrange free collection online at crossroadsiom.org or drop it off at our new home furnishing stores on the Mill Mount Complex next to Mill Creasts.
Crossroads Isle of Man.
Visit crossroadsiom.org to find out more.
It's one final showdown of the season for FC Isle of Man this weekend, and there will be silverware up for grabs. The Ravens face Camel Laird in the First Division Challenge Cup final at the Bowl on Saturday, and we'll be hoping to make it a perfect ending to their extraordinary first ever campaign. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Camel Laird from 3 p.m. this Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary of this massive game on our AM1368 and digital platforms.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
26 minutes before one, just before we go any further, I just want to say thanks to Graham Kerfey and David Furnival from the Queenspear Restoration Trust yesterday, but also to Susan Crane. Karen Jones was there from the Chamber of Commerce. Jeff Court and Steve Bevan from the Town Commissioners. Also, Steve gave us some great news about the RNLI in Ramsey as well. And Marlene Masker, the MLC, talking about heritage in Ramsey, but also the future of the marina. It's going to be interesting just to see what happens with that marina in Ramsey. Lots of people got lots of opinions as to where it should be and the fact that whether there should actually be one. Everybody seems to agree there should be a marina somewhere in Ramsey. Where to put it? Well, who knows? Juan, hi, Juan.
I got the runway lights, Andy, yesterday at Dales. I got four at £1.20 each, so that should solve that problem. And I got two sorry you're leaving cards as well. I got one for Will Greenhow, and I got one spare in case David needs one as well. So that was an extra £2.40.
Well, well, well.
You've got to get everything when you're down in town now. It's hard to park the van twice. It's, going on to what I was saying the other day about, we talked to Alex Allenson, and Julian came on the next day and with some more facts and figures on what I was talking about. And I think, if I remember rightly, Alex Allenson said that he'd heard some rumours about this treaty.
This is the World Health Organization flexing their muscles and becoming sort of wanting to impose standard rather than just being advisory.
Yes, that's right. And it's concerning, really, because, I mean, this stuff rolls on and it is going to have an effect for every man, woman and child on the Isle of Man eventually if this stuff goes through. What I find worrying is that we have a minister there who's saying, I've heard the rumours about this, but, you know, someone like myself and Julian can go out and find the actual facts that's actually happening about this. So I find it kind of worrying that, you know, a minister says, you know, oh, I've heard some rumours about it. So either do you put that down to incompetence or do you put that down to not telling us the truth of what's going on?
Well, it's not his portfolio. I mean, he's business and enterprise. If you'd asked the health and social care minister and he'd said he'd heard a rumour, I'd probably be a bit more concerned. So,
yeah. But on saying that, maybe not his portfolio, but he is a doctor. So, you know, that kind of counters that one a little bit. This departmental thing is kind of, you know, I look at these people when they take these departments over, and it's like they're learning, they come out and it's like they've learnt their lines, they've been down to the Manx operatics, they've done their last show, and then they've picked up the lines for the next show. And I've noticed that recently with David Ashford and Laurie Hooper. One minute, you know, like you say, David's doing the beans now, and beforehand he was doing the vaccine push. And the day after they get this new position, they come out with their new set of lines and they know everything about the job. That worries me. I've always had an opinion on how this is, this vaccine thing has been handled for the last few years. And consequently, where these people get their information from. That's kind of showing now, isn't it, that these people are getting their information from someone else. They're just the mouthpieces that's putting it together. And when it goes wrong big time. So what else has gone wrong that's not actually hit the press yet? This is what I've been trying to get at. Everyone is now criticising David Ashford. I mean, 2 years ago, David was the best thing since sliced bread. But at the end of the day, he's just a politician. In 5 years' time, he could be out on his face. And the civil servants who have caused all this drama will be in there for the next 30 years.
So what bothers you about the World Health Organization, Duan?
What bothers me about the organisation, and people are saying, oh, it's only an organisation and the forums and stuff, but what's happening in the last year or so is these people now are starting to actually come to the surface, and they're starting to, because there's been so much being said about their secrecy, and they were a non-entity, really. No one really heard about them before COVID. No one was interested, but now they're starting to flex their muscles, and in line with like the World Economic Forum, who have now announced their world young leaders, who are Arden, Macron, Trudeau, Tony Blair. And you say that these people are just forums, but these forums are starting to flex their muscles and have got a lot of power now. And you see what's happened in Canada recently with Trudeau. And I think, you know, it seems to be quite worrying times in the world. And this is my concern about where the Isle of Man is going, because I think we have got a uniqueness to get away from all that craziness.
True, but the thing is that we live in a global society with technology as it is nowadays. The world is a tiny place compared to what it used to be. With communications the way they are. And when you get an organisation like the World Health Organization, I mean, the World Health Organization, I think, gets something like $8 billion, maybe $8 billion a year to run itself. I think it's in Geneva, isn't it? It's based in Geneva. And it was always set up, really, to... I don't want to be pejorative, but it was set up to look after the third world. It was concerned with getting rid of smallpox and polio and Ebola and things like that. And presumably, because of the COVID situation, that it's spreading its tentacles to the world.
It is, and the worrying thing is the funding and where that funding's coming from that. I mean, you've got Tetras, who's in a big player in the World Health Organization, and the damage that was done in Ethiopia by that person, and he's in charge of the thing. And it's the funding and where that's coming from and the agendas that's behind that. I mean, obviously, we have without a shadow of a doubt, we have a vaccination agenda going on for people, whether they like it or not.
But vaccines were always seen as good things, Duan. They were, everybody, you know, when smallpox and polio and things like that, everybody was running towards vaccines to stop those horrendous diseases.
They were. But again, when you look back now at the way that this is being run, it's slightly different than anything else. And everyone compares to what's happened in the past. But this agenda has been slightly different. And when you look at how this has been rolled out and the way this has been promoted and rolled out, and then you look at the funding and where this is coming from behind it. Vaccinations have a place in the world. I'm not an anti-vaxxer by no means. I've had plenty of vaccinations, but this one is slightly different. And without going down that agenda of that too much, I just feel that the Isle of Man, going along the lines of what Howard said before, we have a uniqueness here. We don't have to follow everything that's going on. We can say, hey, we're going to be a little bit away from the maddening crowd here, and we're going to have a way of life that we like and that we're used to. Our walks and our speeches and everything else, we don't have to go with this here mad, crazy agenda that's coming down the line and all this by design food shortages. We've got enough here to keep ourselves nice and comfortable.
I just wonder whether, do you remember it was the 1970s when New York was going down the pan financially and reputationally, and they introduced that I Love New York badge. Do you think we should do I Love Douglas?
I Love Douglas. Well, you know what? I mean, now they've got this city status. We could tie this in with the Sunken Gardens wall, and we could build a new city wall. Wouldn't that be great? We could have a city wall, and that would solve the Sunken Gardens problem, couldn't it? There we go.
Thank you, June.
See you, Andy.
Cheers now. And Tony B is with us. Hi, Tony.
How are you doing, Andy?
Good, thanks.
I have two or three comments. Number one, there's an easy way for us to basically stop having to find things out after the fact. Decisions are made, people put in place, and there is no openness whatsoever. People get put in places and in charge of things, and they have no abilities, but we don't know until they're in charge. Easy peasy. All you've got to do is all of these secret meetings that are held by DOI and all the other departments need to be public. All of the people that give advice, who are paid to give advice to the government, that should be made public. Then you'd know who it is that's got these wonderful agendas for putting ridiculous things in the wrong place. Any thoughts on that?
Well, lots of things are public nowadays. I mean, it may not concern you or you may not be bothered, but Ramsey commissioners' meetings are now live streamed. You can actually see what goes on. You can see the commissioners. Uh-huh. Do you think something like that should happen everywhere?
I think it should happen everywhere, including central government, which is the problem, because central government runs all the departments. Ramsey commissioners do very little except talk a lot. They don't actually physically do anything. You had somebody on yesterday that said the Ramsey Pier's got to have a purpose. No, it doesn't. Does the Lady Isabella have a purpose? No. It used to, but it doesn't now. Now it's a tourist attraction. So its purpose, what is it? It's something that the Victorians left us that we should be looking after. The people in charge of Manx heritage are a disgrace, and they should have all of these assets, which are for the people, taken off them, and given to various societies who would then have enthusiasm for doing what needs to be done.
It was interesting that you used the word enthusiasm. The Queenspeare Restoration Trust are non-stop enthusiasm. What they don't have is money.
Well, all that should happen is the government should allocate the whole of the budget for heritage and say, OK, guys, there's the budget. Which one do you want to do first? Which one should we do? And we need to stop building bridges. For instance, those £3 million bridge for six people to walk over down in Glenwillan. What? Where did that come from? We don't know.
I see. So if they put that budget to start getting on with Ramsey Pier, more people would walk on the pier.
Not just that. More people would be interested in helping, because now, all of a sudden, the government's actually behind the project as opposed to at arm's length. They don't need to be involved because they couldn't organise anything. I just show you the prom. Forget it. It's a waste of time giving anybody in government or the departments the authority to try and do something like fix something because they don't know how to. I mean, just look at the prom today. Look at the centre of Douglas. I mean, the town council come on and say, oh, yeah, this is part of our plan. We're going to become a city. The first thing they'll do is give themselves all new titles, put new titles on their doors, and then they'll go ahead and put road signs up. which is a waste of money, like Howard said. But they'll do it because that's their self-aggrandizement. And you can't control it because you don't know about it.
Okay.
You only know about it after it's done.
All right, Tony. Appreciate that.
I just think there's a lot more could be done if there was a lot more involvement. But there isn't because people don't know about anything.
All right. Thanks for calling us today.
You take care, Andy. All the best.
All right. And Paul's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, Paul.
Hello there.
What's on your mind, Paul?
I used to work for Milton Keynes Development Corporation, so it's kind of a double win for me, as Milton Keynes got city status as well, and I've lived in Douglas for the last 20 years, so...
Interesting, of course, and Milton Keynes rose up from, what was it, Wolverton, Bletchley and Stony Stratford, wasn't it? And it suddenly became this enormous place.
That's right, it's about 250,000 people now.
Is it 250,000 people?
Yeah, roughly. I mean, it depends exactly where you draw the boundaries on urban areas, but roughly that. And always, the people who are building it always intended it should be labelled as a city, but it's taken, well, more than 40 years of campaigning and lobbying.
Well, it was one of those 1967 new towns, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I worked there in the 80s. So I left there in 1990, so it's... Yeah, it's been a long time coming. It's 30 years since the Development Corporation.
Well, let me tell you, the managing director of Manx Radio was the first breakfast DJ on Horizon Radio.
Oh, right.
He didn't last long, I'll say that long, but he was the first he was the first breakfast in Crown Hill in Milton Keynes.
Oh, right. Yes, next to the crematorium.
Well, yeah, not far from the prison as well, yes.
Yes, that's right.
So, well, listen, I mean, all that aside, what can Douglas hope for and what should it aim for?
Well, one thing that did strike me is I think it would be really good if the council look for opportunities for volunteering around the city status. I mean, the leader of the council was making fair points about limits on budgets and that kind of thing, but shifting road work, shifting old road cones and things like traffic lights that have been left lying around by contractors and just tidying things up. It is the kind of thing where they've occasionally had sporadic goes at getting volunteers involved, but they just don't, they don't seem to be pursuing that at the moment.
Well,
so for a fresh look.
Does there have to be a structure then in getting volunteers together?
I suspect there probably would, because these days everything is ruled by the fear of being sued. And if you're doing it as the council, you can arrange insurance and you've got those kinds of issues sorted out.
Oh, I see.
I mean, everybody's done a great job on the beaches, but you can't really expect them to do everything. And if the council tried to do something specifically limited, linked to getting city status, then, maybe they'd get a good response.
Okay. All right, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Bye now.
All right, it's 11 minutes to one.
Did you know that installing a new efficient gas boiler can actually save you money on your gas bill? Manx Gas offers modern, ultra-efficient boilers with smart controls you can use via an app. It means you can be in control of your heating wherever you are. And even better, Manx Gas offers interest-free payments over 5 years so you can spread the cost. Call Manx Gas on 644444 to find out more.
Office World at Spring Valley Industrial Estate is home to the island's largest stockist of both office and home office furniture. With ergonomic sit-stand workstations and posture seating solutions, extensive ranges of both general and home office desking and seating, and a huge range of complimentary desktop accessories. Many popular items held in stock on island for speedy delivery or collection. Office World Spring Valley, open 9 till 5:30 Monday to Friday.
Office World!
Summer's here at B&B Furniture, and in our new garden furniture department, you'll find everything you need to relax and enjoy it, with great deals and interest-free credit available. B&B's new garden furniture department in the garden basement.
Now, where's that income tax form? Apparently, I can submit online, but if I don't send it in on time, I'll get a penalty. Now Jim has left. I'm really stuck.
If you're having difficulty dealing with your tax affairs, then one call to Shimin Wilson will put your mind at rest. Manx company Shimin Wilson has served the island community for over 30 years with a range of personal and business accountancy services. Call 627744 or visit Shimin Wilson online and their friendly professional team will help.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast am I, it's 9 minutes before one. Charlie's, that was Jock. Hi, Jock.
Hello there, how you doing?
Good.
I like regeneration, I'm all for it, get stuff fixed, but as the Douglas Corporation taken into account, people who live and own properties on North Quay, with closing off it and making it into a party zone.
What sort of properties? Which ones?
Well, there's flats and stuff where people live on the actual North Quay, and some of the pubs have put out loudspeakers and blazing to all hours at night.
Oh yes, I know the one. I know the flats you mean. Yeah,
right. So just have the there was no notes put through letter boxes. There was nothing to landlords and landladies of properties. They just down and did it.
Does this affect you personally?
It doesn't affect me personally, but it does affect somebody who can't get to the phone at this moment in time.
And what are they expecting to happen?
Well, a bit of forethought on the, you know, they want the properties to be made nice, and they want outside to look nice. But, you know, where some people are actually taking advantage of it. That's all it is. It's just a small note. If the Douglas Corporation takes some consideration into it.
Okay, all right. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, well, cheers. Thanks, bye now.
I appreciate that. And Tommy's on now. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Andy. I just listened to this. What a load of poppycock and nonsense it is, Andy. It's just a meaningless gesture that's in the city status. What I'll ask you, Andy, is does it put any more shopping in the average housewife's shopping trolley? No, it doesn't, does it?
Why do you think they did it?
Well, they've got to do something, haven't they? You know, they've got to wave their hand in the appropriate manner and say, well, what should we give them, ma'am? City status. But it doesn't mean anything, ma'am. Well, they won't know that, will they? I mean, it's absurd, Andy. Honestly, you know. I listened before, if you're still listening, Jim, it just shows you're not as clever as you think you are. Far from the madding crowd. There's no end in that. It's just far from the madding crowd. Okay. Let Andy come on. Just learn your English literature.
All right. Thanks, Tommy. Have a good weekend. David's on with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Danny. Just changing the subject, really. Last weekend, the post office sold a number of vehicles by auction. And I'm just inquiring the other day there, and just wondering what they're replacing them with, because if we're into this climate emergency, you would think a government department would be the first ones to buy electric vehicles.
Interesting. There was about 20 vehicles, I think, they sold, didn't they?
They did, bigger vans as well. Now, I believe that there is a company down at Snugborough that sells electric vehicles and has them on demo and stuff like that. So I just wondered, I've not seen a tender going out what the replacement vehicles will be. And wouldn't you think one government department would purchase electric vehicles and start using them, lead by example and give us some rules?
Well, and this is, I mean, it's kind of allied to the Douglas City thing. If you're going to have a strategy, you need to make a splash. You need to make an announcement about it. And if we are going to go sustainable and green, the fact that nobody's making a bold gesture, it says something, yes. I think.
Yeah, but watch this space. You might, I'll probably get permission to release something next week from Onken. Well, the two things I can tell you anyway, we're looking at electric points because that was the public domain, and we're also bringing the flags back in the village, which
to
me that was a bonus.
That's great. Thanks. That's good. So, thanks for that, David.
I can say that officially as a ratepayer, but as a commissioner as well.
Okay. Oh. Don't get in trouble, please.
It's a first. Bye.
Thanks for calling today. Man in Line is back on Monday. AD Cowan is going to be on Monday. Senior Meteorological Officer at Ronald's Way Met Officer, AD Cowan. You want to ask about the weather? Is it getting wetter, better, warmer, colder, drier? Find out about the weather with Eddie. You can talk to Eddie on Monday. Adrian Cowan, Senior Met Officer. Talking of Oncombe with David, by the way. It's the third... Is it the third Thursday? It is the third Thursday of the month. So Village Walk in Oncombe is home to Alaman Farmers Market. If you want to get along there and pick up your Manx produce and get a whole lot of skis as well. So, yeah, Monday it's going to be AD Cowan. Next Thursday, Chris Thomas, MHK, Chair of the Housing Committee, is going to be on. So we'll find out about the housing crisis. But that's it. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. Have a wonderful weekend. There is still fog on the mountain, by the way.
WIN.